Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Artists have always drawn inspiration from nature. The grace of a crashing ocean wave, the warm palette of autumn leaves, the luminescence of a full moon. But a stark, snow and ice-covered tundra? That's where photographer and sculptor Helen Glaser toured and made images over the course of 7 weeks as part of the Antarctic Artists and Writers Program. She won the grant from the National Science Foundation in 2015, the fifth time she applied for it. Her exhibit, Walking in Antarctica, is on display now at the Rosenberg Gallery at Goucher College. She's with us today to talk about her artwork and her adventure. Welcome, Helen.
Thank you.
Why Antarctica? What drew you to that landscape?
Well, you know, when I first saw the call for applications to this program a number of years ago, that was my first thought, too, is what would an artist do in Antarctica? Isn't it just flat and white? So I was curious. So I looked at photos and I realized, oh, there are mountains, there are icebergs, there are ice formations of great variety, and I was interested in fluid dynamics. I had been reading about growth and form in nature. I was photographing cloud formations. And what was interesting to me is that through the reading I did in books about science for the layperson, I started to see that the movement of fluids, it was complex. It looked random, but if you start to understand some of the background information, you could actually see these patterns in the sky and realize that there was an order. It was a complex order, but it was there. And so I did a whole series of cloud photographs where I was hand coloring them to bring out some of those, some of how the movement in space. And it occurred to me, well, in Antarctica, I could get around these. Because I also did sculpture of organic forms, and I wrestled with how could I get the cloud formations into a sculptural form, but that was difficult because you're only seeing them from one point of view. So I thought, well, these ice formations are the same kinds of forms I'm interested in, but I could walk around them, and I could capture them from different angles. And by the time I did my second to last application, there was also now software where you could create a scan of a landscape form from still photographs.
And I want to ask you how you use that. I want to ask you about that later. But first, let me ask, what was the process to apply to the National Science Foundation?
Basically, you write a up to 15-page document where you respond to various questions. What is the intellectual merit of what you want to do? How are you going to communicate it to the public? Because that's a really key piece. That's why they send artists and writers to Antarctica, is because they want the public to understand the value of preserving Antarctica for scientific research. And people care more about things that they can learn about or see and make that emotional connection.
So that was basically why the National Science Foundation wanted someone like you there.
Right.
So you arrive in November of 2015, and mm-hmm. what happens? I mean, did you have a plan? Did things look the way you expected from the research you'd done?
I had a plan in the sense that part of the application is that they require is if you want to go out into the field, you have to find scientists who will write letters of support saying, she can come to my field camp and stay with me for a week or a few days. And so I had three scientists who had signed on for that. So once the panel approves your, it's a panel process, and once the panel recommends you for a grant, then it's goes to the logistics people who look at it, make sure that the project seems feasible, and then they figure out, okay, when this researcher is going to be there, because there were three different researchers doing three different things. They were all there at different times and work with their schedules. And so they figured out when I needed to be there and when I would be at the field camp. So I was going back and forth from field camps. And then when I wasn't at a field camp, I was on the base. And
tell me more about what it was like living for almost 2 months in Antarctica. You were there basically when it's summer. You were there
right.
November and December.
Right.
What was it like?
Well, it's 24-hour daylight, and people always ask me how cold it was. I'd say most of the time, probably in the mid-20s. I think the coldest day I experienced was 10 degrees, and the warmest one
10
day...
10 degrees above zero.
Yeah, yeah, Fahrenheit. And warmest day was 43. Sometimes it was windy, you know, so then it felt colder, but it was not unbearable by any means, you know.
24-hour daylight, so how did you organize your time? Where did you stay?
Well, on the base, you're in a dormitory with a roommate, and it's kind of like being a freshman in college again with the beat-up furniture and eating in a cafeteria and sharing a bathroom. And then when you're in the field, different camps have different facilities, but they all have a hut that's heated, and that's where everybody... eats and does their work. There's electricity, there's internet, and then you sleep in a tent outside. So it's winter camping. They give you a down-filled sleeping bag, and everybody goes off to their tent to sleep at night.
This is On the Record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Helen Glaser about her exhibit Walking in Antarctica on view now at the Rosenberg Gallery at Goucher College. She was awarded a 2015 National Science Foundation Artists and Writers Grant for that work. So your sculptures are based on the frozen landscape
right.
that you saw and documented. And you use the software you mentioned called photogrammetry.
Right.
So what's the process?
You take a series of still photographs with your camera, you know, same camera I used to take the photographs that I just printed. You take them in a certain sequence and make sure that they overlap, and the photogrammetry software can match the points up from one photograph to the other and read the information about what the focal length of your lens is and actually can create a reasonable three-dimensional version of what the form was like. It's really pretty remarkable.
So it does sound remarkable. Describe then what you applied this to. I mean, because you took many just gorgeous photos
right.
that were not, I assume, part of this project of creating a 3D replica of
right.
what you're seeing. So how did you decide what that photogrammetry should be applied to?
Basically, if it was something I could walk around, maybe do 180 degrees, or in some cases, if it was something smaller, I could go all the way around it.
So what kinds of things presented themselves?
I did a couple of scans of the sides of glaciers. I walked all the way around an iceberg that was frozen in the sea ice, although I have not processed that file yet. But if you go to the show at Goucher, you'll see two different sides of the Canada Glacier. And then you'll see a pressure ridge, which is a sea ice pressure ridge, which is where the ice gets pushed up against the land. And this one is particularly tall. It was about 20 feet tall and very Baroque looking. So I thought it was interesting. It has icicles dripping off it. And it was a pretty crazy looking form. So I did get that one. And then I hiked up one day with a mountaineer to this field called a ventifact field. And the ventifacts are these wind-eroded boulders.
So these are rocks
yeah.
that the wind has sculpted.
Right. They've just been pummeled by gravel. That was in the Dry Valley. So there's a lot of gravel, volcanic gravel, and then there are these huge granite boulders. And over however many eons it's taken, they've carved holes in these boulders and these strange shapes, and those I could walk all the way around.
Did you expect those? I mean, when you got to that field, was that a surprise?
Yeah. I didn't even know about ventifacts. As much research as I had done before I went, there were a lot of things I did not know about, some of which are in the show. Like, I did not know about ventifacts, but one of the logistical workers said, oh, well, make sure when you're in the Dry Valleys to see the Venefacts. I think that's the kind of forms you'd be interested in. You know, when we went up there, it was like, I called it the Surrealist Sculpture Garden. I've never seen anything like that. The other thing I found out about, there was an ice cave inside. There's a glacier that comes off of the volcano that is near the McMurdo base. And certain times of the year, you can actually go inside this crevasse and look at these ice formations inside the ice cave. And that was a pretty remarkable experience. I did not know that was going to be there.
It sounds like the trip was full of surprises. We will post on the record page at WIPR, we'll post a link to a short video you have on YouTube summarizing this process of photogrammetry. But describe it to our listeners. You walk around, you take these pictures, mm-hmm. the software puts it together, and then what?
And then you need a 3D editing program because it's not perfect. There's always gaps. There's always little areas maybe your camera couldn't see. So you have to fix those holes if you want to make it as an actual sculpture. And then you have to decide where the edge is going to be and where the bottom is going to be. So you have to close the form. And after that, you can put it on a piece of equipment that either can carve it, called a CNC router, or 3D print it, which is what I did with three of the sculptures. So I 3D printed, I sliced up my file once I had edited it, which is a very long and painstaking process. You don't just get the photogrammetry file and, okay, I'll just like throw it in the printer. No. It's, several weeks of work. But then you slice up the file because the 3D printer can only print pieces so big. So if I wanted something larger, I had to do it in sections. I epoxied the sections together, painted it. And I did the 3D printing at OpenWorks Baltimore, which fortunately for me opened up in October of 2016, which was great because the 3D printing enabled me to do really complex forms like these Venefacts that would have been really difficult to put on a router and carve. And, OpenWorks allowed me to do it at an affordable price.
And your work with this sculpture, this 3D printing sculpture, was also supported by a Ruby Award from the Baltimore Cultural Alliance.
Yeah, Greater Baltimore Cultural Alliance.
What are you working on now?
You know, I selected 33 photos, and I have finished so far four sculptures from this project, but I have more files I would like to produce of things that I photographed in Antarctica, and I have more photographs. I would like to keep working on this project, and I would like to see if I can show it, now that I've shown it in Baltimore, to my hometown, I'd like to see if I can show it elsewhere, too, travel it around.
I wish you luck with it.
Thank you.
The images are amazing. Photographer and sculptor Helen Glaser. She spoke with us about her exhibit, Walking in Antarctica, images and sculpture based on the 7 weeks she spent on the continent, funded by the National Science Foundation. It's on view now at the Rosenberg Gallery at Goucher College through January 12th. We have a link to information about it at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. Quick break now on the record, and then a Stoop story that also speaks of frozen tundras. I'm Sheila Cast. Stay with us.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.